You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's French and clean up the line. And takes it away. Oh, well done. Mealy playing. Have a deserved lead in Wellington. It's 1-0. Cleggs arriving. Played in nicely. She shoots. Turned away. Checked in. There's number two. The Phoenix on fire in the capital.
Yeah, Clegg to Leggett to the United States of America. That's where we start. We are joined by football commentator, former All Whites, and of course our part of the New Zealand Professional Footballers Association, Mr. Jacob Spoonley, regular voice on the station. Spoons, how are you?
Very good, mate. How are you going this morning?
I'm great. Not as good as the Clegg entourage are probably feeling. This probably seemed like a natural destination at some time. Are you at all surprised it's happened this quickly?
Well, look, I think the important thing to note is that obviously Millie's a very young talent, and this has not occurred overnight. It's been something that I think there's been a lot of planning that's gone into, not necessarily with Racing Louisville, but in terms of Millie's planning herself. And I think it's important that each young player defines the path, defines what is important to them, and then works backwards from how they want to achieve those goals. And I think having the chance to chat to Millie on a couple of occasions, the end goal was always professional football, and it was a case of how to best prepare her for the step into the best possible professional environment. And she had a range of options, obviously played for the Wellington Phoenix, played under a contract that would allow her to keep NCAA eligibility on the table so she could go to college in the US. And the US college system, particularly for female players, is incredibly strong. We've obviously got the likes of Ali Riley, who came through Stanford. Hannah Wilkinson went to Tennessee. And Katie Bowen went to North Carolina. So there's a pathway through that college system. But I think what has happened is that Millie's performances on the field and her inclusion in the Ferns and participation at the World Cup at such a young age has accelerated things. And it's meant that there was probably a choice that had to be made at some point. I'd suggest earlier than this year. And it's then a case of, well, how does Millie then go about achieving what it is that she wanted in terms of that professional goal at the highest level, which unbelievably in some case, I think from some points of view, is the NWSL. But it does give an indication, Daniel, as to the quality of player that we are producing in this country yet again. You've got Marcus Stamich, obviously playing Champions League football.
Mm-hmm.
Got Ali Riley already in the NWSL. And now we have young Millie Clegg.
It sounds like Racing Louisville have had her in their sights for quite some time, sort of almost around the time what she went from the Phoenix to Western Sydney Wanderers. So, you know, the 18 months prior to that, she's clearly captured the imagination.
Yeah, and what I would say, mate, without giving away too much, is that we're regularly contacted by agents about indications of players being monitored, both male and female, but particularly female after the World Cup. And the NWSL is turning its attention towards, I think, not only the A-League, but in particular New Zealand footballers. And that's exciting. So I think it speaks to the way in which we need to keep up momentum around not only ensuring regular international fixtures and getting our players in the shop window for those strong overseas competitions, but also ensuring that our players have the support to perform once they are in those international environments. So supporting them with the likes of travel, making sure that for female footballers in particular, that we do have the ability to give them a 12-month professional environment, because it's a bit of a juggle at the moment with club competition. So there's some questions off the back of the World Cup in terms of the legacy, particularly for female footballers, that we now need to start providing answers and solutions for.
Is this likely, this deal likely to include a transfer fee? Are Western Sydney Wanderers getting money for this? Because I can't help but think, you know, is this a lost opportunity for the Wellington Phoenix?
Oh, look, I think that's it's a really sensible point that because we are now turning into a regular kind of pipeline for overseas opportunities, and we've seen this with Libby Kikache and Sarpreet Singh, to your point, that the Wellington Phoenix were able to capitalise on transfer fees and get compensation for the players, which they can then feed back into their program. So there's that commercial sustainability piece. Now, I don't know, is the short answer in relation to...
Yeah, the injury probably complicates matters, Jake? Because the injury's reasonably significant, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think it's taken a decent amount of rehab to get through. Yeah. But I think, to your point, Daniel, we don't know, but it is absolutely something that needs to be on the radar because it allows us as a country to benefit from those much larger markets and bring or funnel some of the considerable commercial might that they do have back to our shores.
This is a setup question for this one, based on what you said earlier about being in touch with agents. Who's next? Who's next? Who's on the radar?
Well, I can't speculate at all. But there is a generation of young footballers coming through, and as a commentator, I think you've got to appreciate the talents of the likes of Kate Taylor, of Mackenzie Barry, even Mickey Foster is somebody that's a little bit older than that younger generation coming through. And then Macy Fraser is someone that's definitely caught the eye this year. And Brianna Edwards, although she's played cameo roles over the course of the last this season and then also played a more kind of regular role last season, these are all young players that I guess are fighting for that opportunity and at some point or another have caught the eye. So the exciting thing to answer your question, mate, is Millie Clegg isn't an isolated case. She's one that's kind of accelerated things, but there is that kind of generation now, and it's easy to forget that this is only new, that are getting those opportunities and able to put forward that portfolio of professional performances in the A-League.
Try and explain to the uninitiated just how big this league she is heading to. Is it the equivalent of plucking out someone, you know, in men's football from the A-League and dumping them in one of the top five leagues, if not the top two?
It's a top two league. I think from my experience and talking with a lot of the players that are much keener observers and have experienced it firsthand, I think you could make an argument as to whether or not Switzerland and Germany are in the conversation. And then I think the other really strong league is the English WSL. So to kind of zoom out, Daniel, and paint a really strong picture, we were able to pull in $570 million US in revenue at the recent Women's World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico and the USA have said that they have a projected revenue for the next World Cup, if they were to win the bid for 2027, of $3 billion. That is an indication as to how fast this industry is going. I'm talking about women's sport generally, but also specifically women's football. It is the fastest growing industry in the sports market. It is insane at the moment. So this is only going to grow. The money is only going to get bigger in the NWSL, and the quality of the facilities and I guess the equity with men's sport is going to occur hopefully sooner rather than later.
I don't want to nitpick. It's more elite women's sport. I think that's a more accurate description. Those big leagues, the really elite leagues, are going gangbusters. Elsewhere, I think it's a little bit more clouded. I mentioned the NWSL last season, $112 million US in revenue that the clubs harnessed by themselves. That's one-fifth of the World Cup in that league alone. You've seen incredible crowds in Europe. Really at the pointy end, that sport's going bananas.
It is. And I think you're right, Daniel. There's obviously that kind of elite level, the highly commercialised and sophisticated leagues. And then there are leagues that are developing and perhaps waiting for that trickle-down effect. So absolutely spot on. And it's a kind of on us as the avid sports fan and the consumer to get behind and invest our time and money in these leagues. I think in this country at the moment, unfortunately, a lot of people like to be critical, but when we've got a top-of-the-table clash and the Wellington Phoenix, unfortunately, like they only got 9,000 for the men's team on the weekend. And I think as a community, we've got to appreciate that the maturity in this particular country is happening quickly, and we need to enjoy the players and the teams and the success when we can. And I think it's happening at the moment.
Mm. Jacob, what other youngsters sort of, you know, fashioning careers outside of New Zealand? You know, it might be in the men's game too. I've got a message here on text line from Chris who says, ask Spoons about Steph Ukic, is it? Who's gone from the under-17s to Dinamo Zagreb. You know, how many other, you know, young bloods are we sending off?
Well, I think it's a really apt question. In terms of the youngsters that we wouldn't necessarily have heard of, Kian Donkers, sorry. dyslexia caught me there. Kian Donkers from the Under-20 World Cup. I believe he's still in NEC in Holland. So he's one that's probably flying under the radar at the moment. The likes of Ollie Colotti, who's back here in New Zealand now, but spend a lot of time in League One and League Two. But I think in terms of the young talent that we want to keep an eye on, I wouldn't go any further than on the men's side, the West Wellington Phoenix team. As I said in a tweet on the weekend, mate, the Wellington Phoenix side that equalised with Melbourne Victory with the last kick of the game, of the 10 players that were on the field, there was an average age of 23. Now, 8 of those 10 players were Kiwis, and 6 of the 8 Kiwis on the field were 22 or under. So there's that real investment and confidence in our young players. So I think we can look there at the moment. But in terms of the other youngsters that are doing well overseas at the moment, I think Ben Wayne's probably flying under the radar, really well known to the Kiwi footballer, but he's getting game time at Plymouth Argyle. We've got the likes of Dalton Wilkins that's gone up into the Danish Super League, so he's up there with now Callum McCowett. Eli Just, I'm sure there's interest in him at the moment, so the transfer window is an opportune time for him to look at his options. Basically, mate, what we have in terms of our All Whites team at the moment and is a young team, and they are well known to us. I think it's time that we start celebrating them. And if we want to see the players that have the potential to go overseas, look no further than both Wellington Phoenix squads. They're both made up of young Kiwis, and the club is investing in a confident manner and giving them opportunities.
Take your Players Association hat on, put football commentator on. Answer me this. The A-League transfer window closes at the end of the month, right? I think I've got that right. The Wellington Phoenix have an import spot available to them. This league looks ripe for the picking. Ripe for the taking. Should they gamble? Should they spend? Or can these predominantly Kiwi players take them a long way as currently constructed?
Putting purely my kind of football administrator hat on, I think that I would like, selfishly as a Kiwi, to see these young Kiwis continue to get an opportunity, because every time Ben Old steps onto that field, he's somebody that you lean forward on, and you want to understand what he's going to do with the ball. Costa Barbarousis has made everyone not forget about Oscar Zavada, but they're not worried about his absence. And I think the intriguing thing about this, Daniel, is that we're talking about an empty import spot. We've got an import there that has demonstrated himself to be one of the most successful players in the A-League over the course of the last season and a half. Oscar Zavada's impact and his ability to bring something new to this, or different to this A-League team, that's going to be felt. So I would suggest that input spot is probably only going to be utilised if the Phoenix lose somebody in this window. So if a club comes in and says, hey, we need something, we're willing to pay a premium to take this player off your hands. So I do know that the club has been very vocal about the fact that it's been efficient. So I would suggest that if that is the case, then there might not necessarily be money there to spend on filling an overseas spot. But that for me is exciting because it means more opportunities for those young, talented, and I've got to say the Australian players as well, because I do love Mohamed Altay and Nico Pennington and what they bring to this team, but importantly, New Zealanders.
And you might be right. There might not be the cash there, which is pretty darn important when you're looking to sign someone. I'll get you out on this. Still football commentator's cap on. The Wellington Phoenix women started very, very, very well. Now, they can't get too down on themselves despite a recent run of form, poor form that is, because I think they're only 4 points off the playoff picture. So that's certainly manageable. But they've lost four in a row. What's gone wrong, I guess? You know, why are they a little bit off colour?
Really, really simply, and I think it's credit to the men's side that they've navigated their tricky period really well. But both teams have played predominantly away from home over the course of the Christmas and New Year period. Now, that's tricky for two reasons. One, it's a period where there's kind of demands that would be made of the players in terms of family and usually outside of professional football wanting to relax a bit. So that kind of calibration needs to be adjusted. The second thing is the demands of travel and playing in Australia at the peak of summer is something that I don't think we appreciate because we definitely don't experience it. But you're looking at playing in Brisbane and Adelaide and Melbourne, and often the average temperature is somewhere between 29 and 35 degrees. It's very, very demanding of the players. So the combination of travel and the playing conditions, and I think as well, Daniel, there's a lot of new players to this group, and there are a lot of young players. So we saw a fresh start to the season. I think probably what they're experiencing at the moment is the grind of professional football, and it will be a case of learning, I think, for Paul Temple's side. Once they come home, I think we will see them refresh, and I can imagine that the form will start to turn and the trajectory change.
The dog days of summer, you might say.
Paradoxical, I know.
Brilliant stuff. Hey, Jacob, this is awesome news for Clegg. I hope it goes well for her. Really do appreciate your time and insights, as always. Go enjoy your day.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Daniel. Cheers, mate.